Shana Tova, our first learning together in Shana Tovshin Pei Dalid. Unbelievable. We should be Zoche Bezrat Hashem. The continued magic in Chesed Chimam Eta Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to continue throughout the year, even New Year's. Okay, Rabbosai, today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKidosh, is daf Lamed Vov. And we're holding in the middle of the sugya of EC. And I think it might be kedai, being as it's been a while, for us just to go back. Let's start from Lamed Hei Amud Beis and start at the beginning of the sugya of EC. So remember that in the Mishnah, we were talking about three lavim, that noshim are, for some, I mean, pretty obvious reasons, but we're not mitzvahin. So this listed in the Mishnah was the union of Hakofas HaRosh, which is linked to Hashkatat Zakan. And one of the approaches indeed was, it's a simple svara that women don't normally have a beard, and therefore we wouldn't call it a beard. And also we had the additional halacha of the Isser of Tuma Lemeis, of a Kohenet, and that women are not included in the din of the Kohanim. Now, because of that, we already had this big discussion before about whether we learn out from the opening of Emor, where the entire parsha perhaps may be defined by Aaron. So HaKohanim B'nei Aaron would define all of those mitzvahs, and they're only B'nei Aaron and not B'nei Aaron. Then over there we had a discussion about whether we actually learned from Pa'at from Gzera Shava, and the B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nei Aaron applies to everything, or whether we needed Dafka to prove that even those things that came after the opening of the parsha, which is L'nefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav, the din of Tuma to amaze, all those things were also included in B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nei Aaron. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it turns out that according to what Isi is saying, we need to re-examine that whole issue, because one of the things that we did not discuss about leaving women out of, which also has to do with hair, and that is the question of karacha. Is there an iser of making a karacha, tearing out hair on a mace? And Isi indeed says on Lamed Hei Amud Beis, in the second of the big lines, Isi Tani. So Isi says, let's add to the Mishnah and point out that a woman is also Noshim Beturot from Bal Yikruchu Karacha. So there's no iser on, now we don't know why, but there's no iser on women in tearing their hair. Now, Berpashtas, this is going to be directly Nogea, the issue of Karacha Barosham that we have by the Kohanim. And perhaps this indeed is another one of the issues that are mentioned specifically to B'nei Aaron, V'lo B'nei Aaron. That is, opens up the sugya over here again more expansively than the issues that also had to do with hair. Lo takifu pa'at roshchem, lo tashchit pa'at zekinecha, and so on. All of those things now go on to the question of lo yikruchu karacha. However, the svara of Isi is actually brought now in the Gemara, not coming from the parsha in Vayikra at all that had to do with kayanim, but rather, this is another one of those mitzvahs in which we find the mitzvah, just like the other mitzvahs of the hair, are repeated for Yisrael. So here too, when it comes to karacha, it's repeated for Yisrael. So this we have in Dvorim. Bonim atem la'shem elokechem, lo titkodedu v'lo tasimu karacha b'ninechem lameit, ki am kadosh ata la'shem elokecha. So therefore, since it starts off by saying banim atem la'shem elokechem, so it's stressing banim v'lo banot. And that banim v'lo banot is referring to the iser of karacha b'ninechem. Wait a second, Isi. It said lo titkodedu. That's a different iser. Lo titkodedu came before the iser of lo tasimu karacha, and that should be what relates directly back to banim atem la'shem elokechem. No, lo titkodedu is not to tear your skin. This is not b'mokom seyar. So why, this is very strange. Ata omer l'karacha, doesn't make more sense that it would be ligdida. Lo titkodedu, kisho omer ki am kadosh ata la'shem elokecha. That am kadosh is clearly referring to nashim as well. I mean, this is the whole Kabbalah Satera, but specifically first to nashim. So are gedida amur, that is coming to be marba. So what's it going to be marba? It's going to be marba gedida, which means that the banim v'lo banot is b'mayit karachat. which is very strange. I mean, why do we skip Gedida, jump to Karachat, and each thing is not referring to what was directly next to it? Banim atem, which you would think would be the next part, the next words, lotiko to do, no. And Karachah, which is the thing that is right next to Kiyam Kadosh Atem Lashem Elokecha, no, it's the opposite. The Gedida is the Yam Kadosh, and the therefore goes with Nashim, and the Karachah, that's what's going back to the beginning of the Pasuk of Banim Velo Banot. Where'd you get that from? Easy. I mean, Maraita Rabot Eta Gedida Velo Tzieta Karachah. So the explanation that Easy would offer would be, since Gedida is a much broader issur, that it applies to places where there's hair, and but it also applies to anywhere on the body. You can't tear your skin. Therefore, since it's a much more limited issur, it makes sense that when the Torah was coming to be Mabayat Nashim, it would be Mabayat Nashim from the more limited issur and not from the broader issur. So why not? Isn't there a much more reasonable interpretation, AC? I mean, we could say that the Banim Velo Banot is the introduction to both Karachat and Gedida. And then when it's saying, Am Kadosh Atah Hashem Lokecha, it's coming to tell you, don't think that these specific elements of the Gedida and Karachat, that means that this is somehow being motzi nashim from the chashivas of Yisrael. No. Other issues like this, nashim, of course, are included in the chashivas of Yisrael. What would that be referring to? That would be referring to the Sarita. Because when it goes on to say, lo yikruchu karcha b'roshom l'gabe the kayanim, in Emor, it continues on to say, ubiv saram lo yisratu saratet. So therefore, it's coming to tell me over here. Here I'm telling you that in some of the Isurim that have to do with Se'ar and that have to do with the tearing yourself on a mate, indeed it doesn't apply to Nashim. But the idea of Srita, now we assume that Srita means the tearing at your skin with your fingernails. Mashenken Gedida refers to, you know, there's a mental problem that people have. They cut their skin and so on. So that's referring to cutting with an instrument. That's what we thought. And that therefore it would make sense that the Pasuk isn't contradicting itself from the beginning to the end and saying that Boni Velo Bonos is referring to one of the two things that I'm talking about over here, namely Karacha and Gedida, but not to the other. No, it's referring to both. And then when it says Kiyam Kadosh, it's telling me to be Marbe women when it comes to the other Isurim that we find elsewhere, back in Emor, indeed. We're over there, you would have thought maybe would exclude Nashim from Srita, perhaps because of the fact of the Bnei Aaron, Kamash Malan, that the Srita is included. So why wouldn't Isi accept that approach? Says the Gemara, Isi didn't accept that approach because he holds, Kasavar Isi, Srita Ugedida Achat. There's one thing. You're wrong that it means one is Bekli and one is Biyad. It's one Isser that can be done either Biyad or Bekli. So either it's called Gedida or it's called Srita, but it's not two completely different Lavim. Therefore, we have no choice but to say that one of the Psukim, the Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, is inclusive, and one is exclusive, and the Ki'am Kadosh is inclusive. And therefore, we have to decide which one is which, the Gedida or the Karach. Abaye says, I have a much simpler explanation. My explanation is that indeed, Isi was learning out from the Dinim of Kayanim. That's the point. So since by Bnei Aharon, it says over there, that women are Peturas, because we're assuming that the words B'nai Aharon is a reference to all of the special Isuri Kayanim that are mentioned in Parshas Emor. So just like over there, where it mentions Karacha, and it means Nashim are Peturot, Afkan, Nashim are Peturot. So therefore, we're making the assumption again that the entire Parshas Emor, it said Emor to the B'nai Aharon. Okay. To ask the Gemara, but hold on a second. If Abaye is taking for granted over here that the Pasuk that says B'nei Aharon at the beginning of Emor is meant to apply to the entire Parsha of Emor, all of the mitzvahs that are written in Emor, which is apparently what he's saying, because he's taking for granted that Nashim are Peturas from Karacha, So then, if you're telling me that Tichi Ketiv Kra B'Kulei in Yonahu Tichtim, then why even say it? Just Nishta Kra Minei. We don't need this Gzeirah Shavah to tell me what the din is of Nashim, because I would have simply made a Kavah Chomer. I would have simply said like this. Look, Kayanim, in general, the Torah is much more makbid on, right? Because it gives them all these extra mitzvahs. So Makonim Shariba Behem Hakatuv Mitzvot Yeterot. And nonetheless, it says only these mitzvahs Yeterot, we're going to take away the women and even those things that they have in common with Yisrael. It's not going to apply to the women. B'nei Aaron v'lo b'not Aaron. So then, of course, B'nogea, the same Isser that has to do with Yisrael, isn't it obvious? Is it Kavah Chomer without a Gzeirah Shavah? What do we need this fancy Gzeirah Shavah of Karacha Karacha? So Yisrael, Akosha Ken. Ah, that's the whole point. If it wouldn't be for the Gzeirah Shavah, I would have thought that actually B'nei Aharon at the beginning of Emor is only stated B'nogea Tumas Meis. V'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. And it ends with the words, lo yitama. That's it. Now we have these other surahs. It has nothing to do with B'nei Aharon. So therefore, we need the Gzeirah Shavah to tell me that it's going even on the Karacha. What? So I don't understand. So then the Gzeirah Shavah doesn't tell you anything. What's the matter with you? The only thing that the Gzeirah Shavah was telling you was once we know that a woman is potter because it says B'nei Aaron, then therefore it applies even to the Nashim by Israeli, right? But now you're telling me that, well, I can't really be sure that the Pasuk was referring to B'nai Aaron on all of the mitzvahs. So what good is the Gzeirah Shavah? So you're adding a Gzeirah Shavah to tell you something that, yes, that you don't know in the Mokar. So I don't understand. So Ashtanami, okay, so what good is it to add the Gzeirah Shavah? So Neima Yivsika Inya, you have exactly the same problem. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking like this, not bad. You're thinking that if there's nothing that was true in Emor to teach, then why mention the Gzeirah Shavah? In other words, you're telling me the very fact that there is a Gzeirah Shavah is a proof that, yes, we must know something in Emor that we wouldn't know elsewhere. What would that be? B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. Ha! So therefore, the Gzeirah Shavah itself is the proof of the concept. That's what you're thinking. It's cute, but wrong. Because I'll tell you, adding the Gzeirah Shavah doesn't prove that. So if I could show you that I need the Gzeirah Shavah for something else, and not to teach me what the din is of women, so then you have to admit that you can't be sure that B'nai Aaron is referring to anything other than to Mesmes, right? Okay, so Imishum Gzeirah Shavah, that's your problem. Because what's the point of Gzeirah Shavah? No, the Gzeirah Shavah tells me very chashuva halacha. Miboy le'lekira tanya. Lo yikrchu sov. They want to talk about the Kohanim. This is lo yikrchu korcha b'rosha. Okay. So now you would have thought, so let's say a person makes 4 or 5 bald spots by scratching out his hair with all 5 digits, right? So you might think that he would only be chayev for 1 iser, because he's making this being over on this 1 iser of Karacha. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, therefore comes along the Torah to add the extra word Karacha, because lo yikrchu is a karacha. It's a little bit silly to say lo yikrchu karacha. What do you think lo yikrchu would mean? I mean, that's, if you're telling me not to bald spot, why do you have to say don't bald spot a bald spot? So therefore, by adding that, what appears to be completely redundant word, it's telling me l'chayeva kol achad v'achad. It's the bald spot that's the chiyev, not the scratching of one point, and therefore for everyone you would be chayev. And then continues the pasuk. Okay. And then when it says Birosham, so what is that coming to tell me? Ah, because take a look. And when we have the general Isser of Yisrael, that includes Lotit Godadu, Velota Simu Koracha, Bein Einechem, Lamet. So now, what does Bein Einechem mean? It sounds like it means between your eyes, right? Now, obviously, there's no hair between your eyes that you can make a bald spot on, but then it would mean don't make a spot on your head that is directly above, meaning right in the middle of your forehead, right at the top. Wish I could illustrate it, but unfortunately, I don't have the means. But there are people that actually have hair right over here. And if they would make a karachat, and it would be directly from between their eyes, draw a line up, And that would be the makom, and that would only be the only place where you can make a karachat to be chayav. How do I know that anywhere on the head that you make a karachat al hamet, that you would be chayav? Talmud lomar birosham, anywhere on that head, and that's coming to add l'chayev al harosh kivenei nai. Now, the problem is that that pasuk is only said b'nogea kohani. So maybe it's only true about kohani. Maybe Kohanim, after all, read Rabbi HaMakatuv Mitzvot Yeterot. So maybe for a regular Yisrael, the Isser is only Beinei Nechem. And for Kohanim, when the Torah is more Makbid on Kohanim, so then it added the entire head. How do we know that that din is applied to all Yisrael? Ah, that's from the Gezeirah Shavah. Ah, and we went through exactly the same limud when we were talking about the earlier Gezeirah Shavah of Pa'at and Pa'at, remember? So we also thought that we could be koveya from the fact that there was a gezeirah shavah. We explained why we would need pa'at. Fine, because we needed to figure out what type of shaving we're talking about. Here, we're talking about a different gezeirah shavah, but it's the same type of thinking. So the different gezeirah shavah here is karcha karcha. And over here, we're learning out ma'akan, just like by the kayani. The Torah was mechayevet al kol karcha v'karcha. And it also said, where is that place? Anywhere on the head. So to afla halan, chayav al kol karacha v'karacha v'chayav al harosh kivein ha'inayim. And therefore, we also have the inverse. Just like by the Yisrael, it specifies al hamet. Didn't say anything about that by the Kohanim. So therefore, I would have thought, if it wouldn't have been for the Gezeirah Shavah, I would have thought that for Kohanim, there's a broader Isser, Bichlal, not to make bald spots. So therefore comes along the Gezeirah Shavah to tell me, just like Binogea Yisrael is not a Kohen, just the general Isser of Karacha. So over there it says, Beferesh al Hamei. So Afkan, even Binogea Kohanim, the Gezeirah Shavah tells me, the Isser is only if you make that bald spot. Spot on out of pain on the loss of a loved one. Now, that shows that this Gezeirah Shavah is extremely meaningful to us without any reference to the question of the Chiyuv of Nashim. So therefore, it will not shed light on, well, what's it for? If not to tell me what the din of Nashim is, not true. It's telling me the etzem din of the Karachat. So if that's the case, how does Abaya now come off with this mocker for Isi? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because if the Gezeirah Shavah was only Nogea the Dinim of Karachat and not Nogea the Dinim of Nashim, and therefore Megala to us that the entire Parsha was indeed Nehmar B'nei Aaron, then the Torah could have just written Kerach. Why does it write Karacha? To make it into a complete Gezeirah Shavah. I mean, this over here is a Gezeirah Shavah that is now muf, that the Talmud to learn everything out of it. And therefore, it must be coming to tell me more than just the din of the Kereach per se. What would that extra din be? That would be the halacha of the Nashim. And therefore, it proves a bias contention that B'nai Aharon at the beginning is indeed B'nai Aharon on the entire Parsha, even including Karach. Okay, so this is the second approach that we've had to Isi, either from the contradiction of Banim to Am Kadosh, or from the fact that we have the full Gezeirah Shavah of Karacha instead of just writing Kereach. And now Rava says, I have another approach to Isi. This is brilliant, because this is actually quite confusing. The words Bein Einechem is the same words that are used for Tefillin. Right? So now, Haina Taima de Isi, so he has a completely different Gezeirah Shavah. It says, Bein Einechem for Tefillin, where to put your Tefillin Shel Rosh, and it says, Bein Einechem for this halacha of Karachat. So just like over there, we said that women are to raise from Tefillin, back to Tefillin again, as the Mokar, Afkan, Nashim Peturot. So we learned that the Tefillin are Potter because of the fact that it's compared the Talmud Torah, so Nashim Ar Peturot over here from Karachat. Okay, so we've got now our three approaches. We have Rava's approach, Abaya's approach, and the original approach that the Sugya took in understanding Isi. So what did Rava have against what Abaya said? Isn't it a good raya from the fact that we have this full Gezeirah Shavah that was unnecessary? No, Rava does not think very highly of Abaya's claim that the Torah could have written Kereach instead of Karacha. That's the normal way of referring to a Karacha. This Karacha, Kereach, Karacha, lo mashmalei. So he can't learn it from the fact that there's the extra Gezeirah Shavah. And what did Abaya have? That's actually a brilliant limut from Tefillin. So Abaya, my time, Elo Amakarava. Oh, my Lord, Abaya will tell you, look, the only way that we know where to put your Tefillin is from this Gezeirah Shavah. Because, I mean, when the Torah says that you should put it, L'totafot Bein Einecha, where's Bein Einecha? This is like the Tzedukim understand it. It means to put your Tefillin right there between your eyes, right? And, you know, that's the whole Mishnah. It's a very dangerous kind of behavior. If you bump into an open cabinet, it'll go right through your brain. Well, maybe if your brain is so pagum, it's not such a bad idea that you think your tefillin should be worn between the eyes. Okay, but Lamaisa, especially considering that they also made their tefillin oval, so that it was much more likely to penetrate between their eyes. So, okay. So, therefore, the reality is that we know that Malahala Mokum Shaisim Karacha, just like Bein Einechem, is but clearly not referring to between your eyes when it comes to the din of Karachat, because there's no hair that would be called a Karachat between your eyes. And therefore, just like over there, the meaning of Bein Einechem is all the way on top of the area where there's hair that's connected the eyes. Afkan Mokom Anocha Begova Arosh. So then over here, it means exactly the same thing. And therefore, it would be a use specifically to tell me the din of tefillin. The question is, who cares? As Tosu says, what do I care if the Gezeirah Shavah also tells me about tefillin? That doesn't change it from being Gezeirah Shavah, does it? I mean, so it's obviously a Gezeirah Shavah, and it would work in both directions. So if that's the case, we could still learn Karachat from tefillin, in the same way that we're learning tefillin from Karachat, I would say the Nashim are Peturot, right? Of course, there's a much bigger question. The bigger question is, if Karachat refers to the entire head, why can't you put tefillin all over your head? Why does it have to be so perfectly positioned between your eyes that we've got these people walking around all day long going like this from between their eyes to their tefillin to make sure that the pusik is applying to the tefillin on their head? So now this whole thing is really problematic. Now, Tosfos asks both of these issues. So on the first question, Tosfos says, the Shemelo Nigmar Gzera Shova Ela Lashmino Mokom Anochas Tefillin, which is very strange. What is that supposed to mean? Maybe we only learned Gzera Shova to teach me about Tefillin. I mean, isn't that the din of Gzera Shova Lamechza? So, I mean, the way the Rishonim bring out the Nakuda over here is that we don't say Ein Gzeirah Shavah L'mechza across the board. If it's clear that the Gzeirah Shavah is coming as a contrast and a contradiction to a general rule that we have all over the place, so then it does not actually extend as a Gzeirah Shavah in all directions. There's many examples of this, that in a place where it's just not established that the Gzeirah Shavah was coming to undo an entire vision that we haven't called out, but was coming to address a particular thing. So over here, it's coming to address the Mokum Tefillin, and not to tell me that all of the things that we learn out about Noshim and what the Chayavis and all the mitzvahs in the Torah, on the Lotas says in the Torah, so that doesn't make sense. That we should, okay, fine. Now, as far as the question of saying that the Tefillin should be specifically this way, so Tosfos actually, he asked this question, why can't we say Karacha b'chol arosh? So Tosfos says that the very fact that the way that the Torah brings it out is Bein Einechem, and that it says Bein Einechem, it's true it says Bein Einechem even by Karacha, but that's in order to create the Gzeirah Shavah for Tefillin. But why in the world would we refer to a head in general as a Bein Einechem? I mean, most people have got some space for brains between the Bein Einechem and a head. So because of that, the point actually is that it's coming to teach us literally Bein Einechem. The only thing where it's in the Gea is that since that makes no sense when it comes to Karacha, because it says Barosham, so fine. So Mimela, it is understood that that part applies to the tefillah. Okay, it's fascinating how it is that we're very carefully parking over here, you know, and make sure that you do your parallel park properly. And now you need to know precisely which part is nogea the tefillin, and which part is very similar to parallel parking, no? Which part is nogea the inyanim of karachat. Now, the question is, Abaye and Rava did not have any response to the Gemara before about the contrast of banim to ki'am kadosh, right? They sort of passed over that. They gave us a completely different reason. But what actually do they use that pasuk for? So, bein la baye, bein la rova. What about the beautiful drasha we had before? Banim, banim atim. What do they do with that? Ah, that, they say, comes to tell us the halacha in this braita. And the question is this a halacha? That's not so obvious. It seems to just be some kind of medrash. And that leads to an important question, which we'll see in a moment. So, miboyle lekidetan, banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem, read that, banim atem, while you are l'Hashem Elokechem. In other words, if you are loyal banim, and atem noagim minak banim, so then atem kruim banim atem. But if you're not noyeg minak banim, you don't act with the loyalty that a child should act with, then ein atem kruim banim, tevei Rabbi Yehuda. You're not considered to be bani. Rabbi Meir Eimer, this is the famous Rabbi Meir's drasha. Bein kach or bein kach, atem kriyim banim. Klal Yisrael is always, no matter what they're like, they're always called banim. Shenemar, take a look. It says banim sichalim hema. They're pretty dumb kids. And it says banim loy munbam. Zero loyalty. Lousy kids. Zera mireim, banim mashritim. Horrible, corrupt children. But they're still children. We keep referring to them as banim, right? So, and it says in the end that Hoshea bin Komasha Yamer lehem lo amiatem Yamer lehem b'nei el chai. So everybody will be referring to all the b'nei Yisrael, even though they were rejected, as b'nei el chai. So you see that they're banim all the time. Here there's a bit of a problem. The question is, are we referring to B'nai El Chai after they do Teshuva? And that's the B'nai El Chai, the way that some of the Mefarshim explain the Sugya over here, but others tiny, that makes no sense. That's not a Chiddush Bichlal, that after they do Teshuva, they would be considered to be Banim. The question over here is whether even in this state of not having done Teshuva, the very potential of that truth is B'nai El Chai. Now, why do we need so many psukim? I understand. You proved your point, Rabbi Meir. Okay. Maiva Omer, what do you got? One pasuk after another. V'chi tema. Look, maybe you'll say they're only called stupid kids. They're not called kids, but that's because they're only being stupid. So v'chi tema schalu de mikri b'nai. Maybe you'll say, okay, there's things that they do, not thinking. They don't mean to be disloyal. So maybe, yes, you're pretty silly kids. Okay, silly kids, I understand. But if they don't have mamish loyalty, if they no longer have their emuna, then they're not called banim at all. No, banim lo emunba, says Beferish even there. Now, maybe you'll say, okay, that's only if they are not loyal children. But if they would literally worship Avodah Zarah, maybe at that point already HaKadosh Baruch Hu would reject them and would say, you're not banim. And then lo mikri banim. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, no, pasuk goes weiter. Zera mireim banim mashritim. And mashritim are basically people who do pentashritun, vasitem lechem pesel. That's called hashchosos, avodah zarah. V'chi teima banim mashritim u demikre banim al yelo mikro. Maybe you'll tell me, okay, I understand that you can refer to them as horrible children or corrupted children, but you're not going to call them banim. Therefore, Tashma, that's the final pasuk. Vayabim komasher yamer lehem lo amiatem yamer lehem b'nei el chai. From there we see, says Rashi, that teshuva will bring a person back to be shalom. However, as I mentioned, there's and there are many shitas that disagree with Rashi. That I don't need a pasuk here for. In any event, the question is like this. It's a fascinating problem. There's a general It's the Ritvan, but other Rishonim also speak about it. You can't ask that we need a pasuk for something that is a getter of agadata, because that's a different level. So in other words, the difference of the pshat, remez, drush, and sod, they all exist concomitantly. You can't tell me, says the Ritva, why do I need a pasuk where somebody's using it to be derish, let's say a kavachom or whatever, and you'll say, no, we need that to tell me some agadata. It has nothing to do with each other. And yet over here, that's precisely what it seems to be saying. We had the stira that had to do with the difference between Bonim versus the halacha of Am Kodesh, from which we derived the halacha. And now you're saying, well, we can't learn it from there because we need it, what, to tell us like these theories? You know, it's nice to know you're considered to be Bonim. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? So it's very interesting. Rav Meisha Zatzal brings this as a psak halacha, actually, in his truvas, because it's nogea. And the question, by the way, this is another general question, whether the klole hapsak apply to agadata. In other words, do we say, let's say, in a place where the halacha would be like Rebbe Meir, or bedafka not like Rebbe Meir, that that's only true by halacha, but it's not true by agadata, right? So that also is an issue over here. So the question is, the way that he brings this up in Nogea LaHalacha is, and it's a mashmos in the Sifri, that this is Nogea LaHalacha, that's how the Malbim learns, that it's a question of how you relate, which is very Nogea Bizman Hazeh, how do you relate to Bani Mashritim? Are they still related to as Bnei HaMokim, with what, that is Mechayim, Bnei Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, or do they lose that status in terms of the way that you're supposed to be dealing with them and speaking to them and caring about them and so on? So that would mean that this would be nogea pashut lahalacha. And therefore, it's very much not a stira to the Ritva. Although in general, I think that the Ritva does not, there's many examples in the Gemara, where the Gemara brings limudim from things that sound like they're agadata. And we say, we use it for that. I think that the Ritva was saying midrashim that are the place where he said it is from Bezot Yavo Aharon. And the Bezot Yavo Aharon, which we learn out all of the dinim of Knisa Lifnai V'Lifnim, and so on, says, well, don't we need that for Bezot, referring to Zot HaTorah, and Zot HaTorah means Aharon can only come in if he's a tzaddik, carrying all of these mitzvahs. And that type of midrash is what the Ritva is referring to. Well, but there it's more, much more begetter midrashim of remez, and it clearly is seiser the pshavim associate. Well, they should be carrying mitzvahs in it, so that could be that ain't achinami. But there's other cases in the Mishnah where the specifically limudim are very kolea la'inyan, they're very directly defined, and even if you wouldn't necessarily have it mamish la'halacha, the Torah can be coming to teach you how to look at something. Okay, in any event, I think it's a perfect time to call upon Richie, as he can see that Doc is gradually being brought right over his head. I know he can't use an iPad, but any minute now, that hypodermic is about to, you better do a good job. So go for it. Your first Halakha Mishnah of Tov Shin Pei Daled. May it be the first of many, many Mishnayos and many, many years. So give it as a simon. Put your all into it. A fine beginning. So now we've been talking about all of the special inyanim of Nashim, Legabe, Mitzvah Zaseshes Mangorma, She'enas Mangorma, the dinner of Nabikol Lavim Shabbatera, the dinim of Mises, Tashlumim, Kaporas, and so on. Now we move on to discussing the dinim of Noshim, Legabe, the mitzvahs that are chal on Kayanim for Karbonis. That's a fascinating issue. So are women considered to be included in the mitzvahs of the Kahuna? So look, there's two things that are nogea, not even before we get even to the kayanim, and that is smicha and tenufa. So smicha and tenufa is done by Yisro. However, even that, benogea korban, women don't do smicha. Smicha, remember, is, of course, people bring riots from here. Yes, indeed. Don't give smicha to women. And this refers to smicha al karbonites. We're over there where a person brings his korban, he has to put his hands on it and presses down with his full force, and either his misvada, if it's coming as a kapora, or his meida, mishabeach, as a korban teida, and so on. And the tenufa is wherever the Torah was merchayev a tenufa. So every shlomim, there's the chaz of a shok, where the Bailam does holds onto it and does tenufa. Those things are also done by Yisrael, but not by Noshim. Now we're going to start talking about all of the things done to the korbanos. Okay, so Hagosha, remember, is the kohen walks up to the Mizbeach and brings the kemetz up, brings the mincha up to the Mizbeach, in a symbolic act, not to actually put it on the mincha, right? But you just go up to the keren on Mizbeach and you touch it to the Mizbeach. Then the next thing would be kmitza. Kmitza is using your fingers to take out the handful, the kemetz, the aktores, putting anything on the Mizbeach, the melikes of a chatas or elas ha'ayv, the kabbalahs, to be the kabbalah dam, the hazahs, any kind of dam that is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, all of these things are only noig ba'anashim velo ba'anashim. There's only one, actually two special cases, and that is chutz b'minchat sota and a nezira. Where over there is a mitzvah of tenufa that is given on women as well. So the mincha sota, the sota actually waves herself, and if she is a nezira, so then the same thing is true about the korban nazir, which normally the nazir would do. These are the lachmi nazir together with the other, the shlomim, right? And it's a special type of shlomim, the nazir. And if she is the nezira, so she also does that tenuf. So let's go through each one of them. Smichot, we know, do not apply to women, because it says that there are b'nei Yisrael v'samach. B'nei Yisrael somchim, v'ein b'not Yisrael somchot. Tenufot, same thing. Tabero b'nei Yisrael v'heinif. B'nei Yisrael menifim, v'ein b'not Yisrael menifot. Hagashot, dechtiv, v'zot torat mincha hakrivota b'nei Aharon. B'nei Aharon v'lo b'not Aharon. Kemitzot, dechtiv, v'hevia al b'nei Aharon v'kamatz. Again, b'nei Aharon v'lo b'not Aharon. Haktarot dichtiv, viktiroto b'nei Aharon v'lo b'not Aharon. Hamlikot dichtiv, umalak viktir. So whatever the din is of haktara is the din of the malika. So we've already shown that iskash malika la haktara, since the haktara is said on b'nei Aharon, so it would mean the malika is also b'nei Aharon. Hakabalot, being mekabal adam, which is done by kayanim, is only b'nei Aharon, because it says v'hikrivo, and even though the lashon v'hikrivo you think means put on mizbeach, it does not, because clearly from the pasuk the hikrivo is referring to kabbalas adam, because he hasn't even gotten to the zrika, so he couldn't possibly be doing the actual akrova. So it's a reference to the kabbalas adam. The hazaot, what kind of hazaot are we talking about? I mean, you're talking about the dam of a para aduma, is what you're referring to. And that means that when, now it's true that there's also, I mean, hazaya of water, but that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about dam. So what is like the new kind of thing that we're talking, is this chiddush? You're talking about the zrika of the dam, which is not even done in the Beis HaMikdash, you would think would be done by Nashim. It's towards the Beis HaMikdash from HaRezesim. That can't be the point, because even a male kohen can't do that. It says beferish el azar. It says specifically that it has to be brought by el azar. Now, this is a whole big question, whether that's really true. Rashi says over here that it's only a kohen gadol, and even a kohen hediot is possible. So how would we think that a woman is going to be kosher? And now, I mean, the fascinating thing is that el azar was not even the Kohen Gadol at the time that we were talking about this pasuk. He was actually only the Sigan. Aaron was still the Kohen Gadol. And in fact, that there's many shitas that hold that are for the rest of time, there's no specific din in El Azar. And therefore, Tosfos says, I mean, so what? This is only true according to Waman Diomar. Waman Diomar learns that the Torah is calling El Azar the Kohen Gadol in these terms because he's going to be taking the place of Aaron. But the other Waman Diomar learns that we're Marba Kohen Hedyat Lederes. So then what's the Gemara's kasha? Maybe that's why we need it, according to that Mandi Omar, because a Kohen Hedyot is kosher. So Tosis explains that the point is that if I need a special ribui, that even though it says Elazar, it would be kosher, even with a Kohen Hedyot, it's clear that the Elazar is certainly going to be mamayit, anyone that would not normally be included. So therefore, that I understand for sure, that Nashim are not included. So it would be true even according to both Mandiyamas. This is how Tosfos understands. There's no way is the Gemara saying specifically that you really need a Kohen Gadol to address. And if we're talking about, okay, so what other Hazoya that is unusual and not the typical thing that is done for a carbon that we spoke about before? Are you talking about Tifnim? You're talking about like a Chatas that is brought, let's say, a Par Helam Davash Al Tzibur or a Par Kohen Mashiach, where over there it's done inside of the base of the bias itself. I mean, there it says Beferish, only the Kohen HaMashiach. So obviously a woman is not the Kohen HaMashiach. Now the problem is, again, as Tosis points out, this is not true. Again, Rashi is saying that this is true, Luderes. Seems to be saying anyway. And there are those Achronim that say yes, that in fact a Kohen Gadol needs to do it. So the question is, I mean, halacha lemaisa in terms of Rambam's psak, any kohen can do all of these karbanas. So Tosfos, therefore, it's the same thing that we said before. If we need a special ribui to be marba, a regular kohen, even though it says a kohen hamashiach, so obviously we would need, therefore, a special ribui to be marba nashim, which we don't have, and therefore everybody would be beta that it's a given. So when you talk about hazah, so what do you mean? So what we're talking about is there is one place where the Torah uses the lashon specifically on lahazos, even on a regular carbon, instead of nesinas hadam or chitui hadam, and that is vihiza midam achatat. So therefore, you would think, okay, so that's what we're talking about over here, that this particular type of nesinas hadam, which is called hazaya, that would be okay, even with Nashim. So it's coming to tell you no. So therefore, if the question over here is, why would I think that? I would think because it's a Kavah Chomer. I would say, look, if the idea over here is that if a ben son shelo kavah lo kohen l'shlitato kavah lo kohen l'hazato, ben of shekavah lo kohen l'melikato, ein odin. So even though you're right, the Torah never says that a woman is not kosher for an oath, but the point is that it seems to be a Kal Vachomer, because I don't need a Kohen when it comes to Shkita of an animal korban. And I do need a Kohen when it comes to Malika of a Ben Ov. So then that means that the Torah is more makbid on the Dinam of Kahuna when it comes to the Ov than it is on the regular animal. And therefore we say that you should know, therefore, that Nashim are not included. Now there's a number of very serious problems over here. Let's take the simplest problem. Simplest problem is that no korban can be brought at the nighttime, right? That's a given. Because this is Biyom Tzavoto, we learn out from there that all korbanas are only kosher in the daytime. And what's more, you can't bring a carbon before you bring the oila, le'a hashlem kol ha-carbonot kulam. So if that's the case, we know already that nashim are peturais from any mitzvah that the zman is garma. And over here, the zman is garma. So how do you explain the need for it? Says Tosfos, one second, there's a difference between nashim being peturais, but that's not the same thing as there being psulais. Suppose a woman would do it. Would it be considered to be a psul? But I don't know. So when I'm bringing these psukim, it's basically coming to tell me That's psulites. Now, there's just a very beautiful issue on this side, because it's only a diakon Tysus. And it was apparently Tysus says that the fact that even those things that would be kosher, Delilah, since I can only do them when I've already brought the Tamid Shel Shachar, so it's considered to be a mitzvah saseh shasman gorma. Now, this is a big question, because the issue is where something is a function of a thing that happens in time. Does that make it a mitzvah saseh shasman gorma? And the most famous case of this, of course, is, well, there's two very famous cases, Sfiras HaEmer and Kiddush Levana, right? Now, is Kiddush Levana a mitzvah shahazman gorma? Or it happens to be that the new moon only comes a new moon once a month, but that doesn't mean it's the Zman. It happens to be that there's only one time a year where you have the new Omer that you bring it, but that doesn't mean that the Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah saseh shahazman gorma. It means the event is gorma. The Tosfos is apparently considering the event to be the equivalent of Zman. Is that necessarily true? And even though the Rambam paskins that the Omer is considered to be a Shazman Gorma and Nashamar Paturais, but the question would be, is that because of the general idea, or is it because he holds that you're counting from the 16th and that it isn't really halakha? You do the count anyway, right? So it's the time of that day. It becomes mutter, and then it starts on that day. So maybe it's halakha and zman, because it's bechuber to Pesach. This becomes this big issue about what do you hold the gabe Kiddush Levana. So I have a pshat that I think is mamish. And I explain the Ripke Vinger with it. That's like one of my favorite nekudas. And that is that this has absolutely no connection to Kiddush Levana. Why? Because the change in the moon is the definition of time to us. So you can't say that's an event. That event is how the Torah defines time. And therefore, by definition, it's totally in Zman, even though it's an astronomical event. Astronomical events are time. Okay. Anyway, I couldn't resist. So I brought this up. Now, the more general question. All right. I see. I'm not getting any kind of nothing around a Yitzi over there. So I better move on fast. Okay. So we have a more general question, which many ask, the Chazanish asks, why do we need all these special dinim? First, let's start with Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos' kasha is, how would I think that the Noshim are kasheres, they would be psulais, because even if they were koyanim and they're not wearing their begodim, so then they would be considered to be posel. And these women are not wearing the big day kuhuna. So lemaisa, that should posel them from doing all of these things, so we would even know that they're mechusarot begodim. So what do we need the posel for? So Tosfos says, well, maybe it's talking about a woman who put on the big day kuhuna. But then he says, his beautiful teretz, which is, if you're not going to be given the mitzvahs of the kuhuna, so then you weren't given the chiyuv of wearing the big day kuhuna. And therefore, if the women are going to be ksheres, which of course seems to be contradictory, so what, now they're even better than normal kayanim? Why don't we say Bichlal? It leads to the obvious question. That's the Chazanish's question. Why don't we say that they weren't nitkat shot, bikedushas ha-kahuna? They didn't go through all of those stages, and therefore they're considered to be zorim. Even a kohen that is born to a kohen as a male, if there's any psul, does he has a din of Yisrael, has a din of Izar, unless he is not a halal. But you could be b'chal of the kuhuna. If the kedushas ha-kahuna wasn't given there, was only given to Bnei Aaron, so then why do we need a pasuk to tell me that they're passeling the Aveda? A Zar always passels the Aveda. And that is a big question, which is actually Nogea la Halacha. A woman who does the Aveda, does she passel as a Zar? And is she Chayevet as V'chol Zar Lo in any of these cases? Big machlokas about this, actually based on this sugya, which is amazing. Anyway, let's just finish up here. I couldn't resist making it a little bit fun. Fine. So now we ended up understanding that the reference here is to the Ben Of. And the last piece of the mission is still, we didn't explain. When it comes to Minchas Seita and to a Nezira, over there the woman does do the Tenufa. How do we know that? So remember that there was the Rabbi Yoshia, the Zokin, who he never would have talked this way to Rabbi Eliezer as a Talmud. And here he's talking to his Chavrusa, the Rabbi Yoshia in his own generation. Thus brings Raya from here, that you see from here that Rabbi Yoshia Kishisha was still alive, because the Gemara felt it necessary. Make sure you understand this, because the way that he talked to him was disrespectful. So, lotete vakaracha de'amatele lashmaitza, do not put your rear end down until you tell me the pshat. I need to know what this means. What? Minayin? Maybe it would be good if you read the holy book. It says, ve'inifet amincha. I don't know what you're talking about. This is a din in Seita. No. The question over here is, how do we know that the Bialim needs to do? That's talking about the Kohen. It says over there that the Kohen should be main if the Mincha. I'm not asking, obviously. It says, V'lakacha Kohen miyad ha'ishat minchata kena'ot ve'inifat ha'mincha. That's referring to the Kohen. Anybody who reads the Pasuk is not going to see that that's a reference to the woman. So where do you get that from, I'm asking you? T'nufa b'va'alim inola. That atya yad yad mishlamim. I actually learned that from Gezeirah Shavah. Here it says beferish, v'lakacha kohen miyad ha'isha. So the idea over here is that the same way that we have this strange pasuk by Shlomim, from which we learn out so many dinim, that the Shlomim serves as a model for, yadav to vienu, it doesn't seem to be saying anything. So over there, the yadav to vienu is telling us that the owner himself has to be there and bring it in order to do that tenufa. So makan kohen afla alam kohen. So first of all, when it comes to the Shlomim, it doesn't say that the Kohen does the Tenufa. It says Yadav to be, you know, of the Baalim. So just like we learn out from the Yad Yad in both directions, just like by the Seita that says Beferish v'lakach ha-Kohen, so to Yadav to be, you know, means that the Kohen will take it, mi Yadav. But on the other hand, just like over here, it's clearly talking about the Baalim, Yadav to be, you know, and be Menif, so too in the case of Seita, the Baalim has to be Menif, but the Baalim is a woman by definition. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that the Isha is actually Menifa. So how do we manage this? I mean, is it the Kohen or is it the Baalim? In both cases. Okay, so Kohen machnis yadav tachat yad ha-Baalim u-Menif. He puts his hand under the hands of the Baalim, and together with the Baalim, he waves it. So this was a big question that Tosfos discussed in several places, whether this means literally, because Pashtas, if it's literally, then you have a problem of a chatzitza, because someone else's hand is a chatzitza to that. So one approach would be, as Tosfos points out, if the Torah says that this is the meaning of tenufa, that obviously is not a chatzitza. Or when it says tachat, it doesn't mean touching the hand of the other person. It means underneath the level where that person is holding it. So if the mincha is being held by the seita higher up, the kohen puts his hand beneath it. And both of them are meniv. Okay, how do we know nezira? This is all very nice for the sota, where we have the yad yad. But what tells us that that's true about a sota, about a nezira? Over there, the halacha is that a nezira who is bringing her mincha. So over there it says, V'natan al kapea et minchata zikaron, and binogea the nazir, who's bringing the mincha, it says, V'natan al kapea nazir, there where he's bringing his korbanos b'chlal. So too, the same thing is true of the nazir, in which case, just like over there, it means the bialim, even though she's a woman, over here too, kaf, it says the same thing, al kapot, and this is al kapea nazir, and over here it says al kapea. So that lotion of kaf is exerish of it to tell me the same din is true by a nazir.